this episode of Get Real Podcast, I have my dear, dear, dear friend, Lainey Crowder. I've been trying to quote what she's been talking about on several podcasts. I finally was like, Lainey, you've got to come on and you have to talk about this yourself. She is talking about how we are in a season of abundance at all times, even when we feel like we are not. And I just love this message so much. She talks about how we have to go through the raining season. We have to go through the plowing. It has to rain again. We have to then, when we finally get to the harvest in our lives, sometimes the harvest is overcome by locusts and we have to start all over again and we wonder, what is going on? Is God even there? It all leads to abundance. She talks about this message. She is such a spiritual sister to me, and I admire and respect and look up to her so much. I'm so happy to have her on. Here's Lainey Crowder. Okay, I'm here with my dear friend, Lainey Crowder. How's it going, Lainey?
It's going well. Is that the correct way to say that?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I am good. Such a grammar expert, so yes, it's going well.
Thank you, madam.
Thank you. We just did something cool. Lainey had a bunch of moms over to her house, and we did a CPR class.
Yes, because it's ridiculous that I have an almost 8-year-old and almost 4-year-old and have never learned that skill.
It was super easy.
Yeah, much easier than I thought it would be.
Me too. And it's just nice to know how to do that. So, like, hopefully you never in a situation where you got to do CPR. But
it's kind of like the self-defense thing. I feel like, well, maybe I'll remember something if I ever need it, you know? Because I can't imagine a more helpless feeling than knowing you can't help someone when there's a skill set you could have potentially learned to help
easily acquire. Yeah. And you can actually even just probably Google it and figure it out.
I did one time look it up. I can't remember why. I found a video on YouTube a couple years ago just because I was like, I at least need to know something. But
right.
Anyway, Precious Heart CPR, they were awesome.
And just for any other person in general, I would recommend doing this just to know how to do it.
Yeah, I told Corey, because he's out of town, that we were doing it. And he was like, I really need to learn that. So we might have to do another class and have the men's come.
Corey is your husband, who's also my husband's bestie. They look like brothers from another mother.
Look like brothers from another mother.
Corey is a hit songwriter, hit producer. We're sitting in a room surrounded by all his accomplishments.
Which he hates, for the record. If anyone ever comes to my house, this room drives him crazy. It's the first thing I hung up at the house when we moved in because the house felt very impersonal. And I was like, what do I have that I can hang up that looks like someone lives here? And this is what I had done before he came home from work one day. And he was like, are you kidding me?
But it's also like his music room.
I know. We want to get a piano in here. And we do hang out in here. And I don't play the guitar, but the kids sing and he plays. And we turned it into a music room. That's what it's doing.
So the one behind us is Think of You, which he wrote and produced for Chris Young, Cassidy Pope. He's had a lot of Chris Young songs.
He did,
a lot
yeah.
of number one songs yeah, for Chris Young.
His number ones have come from Chris, and that's been awesome. And
works a lot with Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah. He's working a lot with them. And, you know, it's just fun. He's in a great season of life. Like, all of it's, we've been together since we were 16 and 17, and it has been, like, quite the journey.
Y'all were together when, I mean, you guys were broke.
We were broker than broke. And not that, like, I mean, I don't know what not broke is, because sometimes when I'm looking at the bills we're paying, it's like, geez, this is just hard to even get ahead. But broke, but believing in a dream and not looking back. And he's always said, you know, if you have a plan B, go on and do it, because like when the times get hard, you'll like lean on them. And yeah, I mean, there's a scenario he doesn't like me to talk about, so I'm not going to talk about it on here, but you probably heard the story before. No, I will talk about it, but probably right before he had his first number one, like, I remember a time, just so we could, like, have gas money, we had to return all the groceries to the grocery store. Like, the most embarrassing time of your life. Like, he had to do it. I didn't do it. I was out of town. but, I mean, just things like that, to where, you know, I'm 38, he's 36. He'll be 37 in May. Not yet. I robbed the cradle there. But, you know, younger people in town that maybe they see this and see success, like, and they're going through times where it's like, how am I going to pay my bill? Or I'm having to work 5 different jobs.
Is this ever going to happen?
Yeah. And it's just one of those things, like, we've all been there. Like, nothing's been handed to any of us. And there's still so much further to go or more dreams to accomplish. And it's just, that's all part of the story that makes the wins feel so much bigger. Then maybe they are, but to us, like, they're huge, you know? So, mm-hmm. yeah. He hates that story though, when he had to go back to Kroger and return every grocery.
But it's true. Okay, I don't know why I just want to cry right now. No. So I'm gonna just let a few tears out because it makes me feel better when I cry. And this, I've never done this in a podcast, but will you pray over this podcast?
Are you kidding me? Because before we started, I was gonna ask if I could, and I didn't. So there we go.
I want you to pray, and that's a big reason why I want you to come on this podcast, because you've started a Bible study for women, and not in this, like, don't y'all get scared. It's not like this. I'm gonna preach you churchy Bible, like fire and brimstone. It's not like that, because I can't subscribe to that, and that's not how Lainey's doing it. And I just think you have such a great approach to spirituality. So will you pray for us?
I would love to. Okay. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for Caroline and her heart and just the light that she is to this world and to me personally, God. I pray for this podcast and all the ears that she's able to reach with her words. And I just pray for our time, God. I pray that things would be protected and not misinterpreted in any way, that anyone listening would know that we're just two women that you have created, that we're figuring it out as best as we can with your guidance and help, Lord. And I pray that we can just shed some light on who you are and what you're teaching us these next few minutes. Bring us peace and joy and contentment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So
why do you want to cry? Just go there real fast.
I want to cry, and sometimes I just have to cry to get it out, because once I cry, I feel so much better. I mean, it's just like, ever since becoming a mom, the intensity of what life is on a spiritual level, and then like on a human level, is so much bigger to me than it ever has been before, because I see Sunny every single day, and she grew in my stomach, and I'm still so close to that experience because she's still so new that I realize how divine it is and how much bigger it is. And like, she started off as nothing, and now she's as a full human. And then I like being with you today and community of women and seeing all these women that we're trying to be good moms. We're trying our best to be great spouses. We're trying our best to be good people. And I think just the fact that like we come into this world so pure, so brand new, so from the other side.
Totally.
And here we are, like the whole evolution of just growing into adults. And it's like, we're all just trying to be the best that we can, doing the best we know how to do. And it's just like such an overwhelming experience, because here we all are just doing this thing together.
Yeah. Which I think like community is so powerful. I was talking about this in one of the studies recently, because I think my loneliest times in life are when I'm either trying to do it on my own or think I'm in control, which we were talking about earlier. We have to have each other. And I think when you get in a room with women, and ironically, the gentleman that was leading the CPR class kept going, "Wow, you guys thought of every scenario. Wow, yep, I was going to talk about that."
And beat me to it.
Because we're all moms and we're freaking out all the time. And we lay in our beds at night thinking about all these things that could happen. But there is such like peace that comes from being like, okay, I'm not the only one that thinks this way, or I'm not the only one that failed today, or I'm not we're never gonna get it right.
Yeah.
Like it's exhausting trying to.
Yes.
And going back to like, you know, I'm thankful and grateful that I've had the honor and the privilege of bringing two children into this world, and I don't take that lightly. And I know that that is like a struggle for a lot of women, and my heart is broken for them, because it truly is a love that you cannot experience until you're on this side of it, you know? And so with what you're talking about, everything is so much stronger and different, and the sky's bluer and the dark skies are darker when you're a mom, and the kids you can love with all your heart, but they can break your heart in an instant too. And so there is a lot to it, and you're in the throes of it. You're in the early itty bitty and Caroline hobby time. Like, you're far along in it, but you're not. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you're in the like really early stages, and so it's a lot to take on.
And I'm going to go ahead and confess this, because this has been... because
we're at church.
We're at church right now. We are. This is a confession I've had that like I've really like, it's full circle with, so now I can say it. Like, because like sometimes when you're in the middle of like dealing with like an insecurity or a fear, like you can't really talk about it because like you're in it.
Yeah.
So I've always had this fear that I'm not good enough. People who listen to this podcast know that about me. But I've always struggled that I'm not good enough. And it translated into getting pregnant. Like, we couldn't get pregnant for a while, so I felt like I wasn't good enough to carry a child. Okay, the tears are just going to come from all this. Like, all that. I didn't feel like I was good enough to carry a child. And then we did get pregnant, and then I was scared I was not going to be good enough to be a mom. And then I finally, like, had her, and I felt like I had to just, like, do everything right and prove everything right to show that I'm a good mom and to show that, like, I deserve this and that I'm not, like, screwing her up, or that I'm not, like, look, people, I'm a good mom. And finally, I'm at this point where I'm like, I just know I'm a good mom now. And yes. I don't have to, like, I'm not going to be able to worry enough to protect her. And I don't need people to see that I'm doing a good job because I know my heart is good. And I feel like for a long time when I first had her, I just needed to, like, talk about what I was doing, let everyone know that I was doing, in case I messed up, at least I told you I did it. So, like, I won't
be. That's a trap. That's, like, such an exhausting trap of, and I'm a few years ahead of you, and, like, my kids are 7 or what, almost 8, almost 4, whatever. But, like, you'll be back in that headspace in another season of life, like when one of them starts preschool and you're the mom that forgot it was whatever day and you didn't dress your kid up, or it's a constant cycle of having to remind yourself, I am a good mom. You know what? Like, the only litmus test that I use now is if I'm a good mom is, like, do my kids, now I'm going to cry.
It's okay. Like, let's cry.
When they go to bed at night, do they know that they are loved? And Walker did something the other day that I was really disappointed.
He's your 7-year-old.
Yes, he's my 7-year-old. And we'd come in from the neighbor's house. We'd had a great day. I can blame it on a million reasons. The kids were exhausted. We'd gone to church and ran around. And then we went to a birthday party and ran around. And then the neighbor invited us to dinner. And we went up there. And my kids were, like, super loud, super not good listeners. And we came home. And I was like, we're going to bed. You've lost your privileges, blah, blah, blah. And I was very stern with him. And he had tears in his eyes. And he was like, but you still love me, right? And it's like, and let me just say, I was as mild upset as you could be, because mostly I was just too exhausted to be terribly upset. But he was like, you still love me, right? And I said, I will always love you. There's nothing you could do that would make me not love you. And I want you to always know that. I'm just disappointed in you. And so he said, will you give me a hug before bed? I was like, of course. And then he went to his room. But, like, that's the only thing you need to know is, like, is Sonny going to feel loved? And sometimes love looks a lot different than getting it all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she'd rather have a mom that loves her and a mom that can show herself grace and can show herself, like, forgiveness than a mom that's got it all together that can't do those things.
And I feel like you're so good at talking with your kids. Like, I feel like maybe back in the day when things were more, back maybe in our parents' generation or grandparents' generation, like, people didn't talk about their feelings as much. I feel like you're good at talking about stuff. Like, even if you say you messed up, like, you are good at talking to Walker and be like, okay, I messed up here. Yeah. Like, how do you do that?
I don't know why I feel the need to talk so much to my kiddos.
I think that's amazing.
But I, like, can overtalk through things. I mean, there was a time a couple months ago that, like, I can't remember what happened at school. Walker was upset about it. And at the end of the, he calls, like, I have a counselor that I haven't been to in too many months. Like, I love her to pieces. And one day he asked, what are you doing today when you drop me off school? And I said, well, I'm going to a counselor. And he was like, well, what's a counselor? And I was like, it's a feelings doctor. So that's what we call a counselor. And anyway, he'd been upset about something that had happened, and I was laying in his bed talking to him all through, how does this make you feel? What do you think about that? Well, how could, and he was like, I think I just need to go to a feelings doctor and talk about it. And so I came downstairs. I was like, Corey, we've got to get Walker in a counselor. He wants to go to, like, a feelings doctor. And Corey was like, are you over? Like, I don't know. I feel like, I think we were raised in a time period where people didn't talk about their emotions as much for whatever reason. A large part is, I don't think the society in general was as anxious as it is now. I mean, I'm going to throw the blame on social media and a million other things in technology. But, and there's a lot of good that comes from those things, but anxiety as a whole, I mean, it's, like, statistically risen. So maybe we feel the need to work through things with words more than we did when our parents were our age. But my fear is that I'm going to, like, push my kids the opposite direction where they're, like, way too in tune with their emotions. But I raise my kids, and Corey does too. I mean, this is kind of how we approach it, to talk about an issue, whether you're happy or sad. Why are you mad about this? Like, how did this make you feel? Like, yesterday when CJ, who's 3, had a little girl at the gym tell her, go away, I don't like you.
Oh.
You know, it's the first thing she told me when I picked her up at childcare.
It probably broke her little heart.
Yeah, and what's awesome about a 3-year-old is they're like, Mommy, this girl said she don't like me. Can we go get that orange smoothie you like? Like, like she hadn't thought about it since, but... You know, well, how did that make you feel, CJ? It hurt my feelings. Well, you know, that's not being a good friend. Let's make sure we don't ever make someone feel the same way that girl made you feel. You know, I don't know. You know what? Check back with me in, like, 20 years. And let's see if, like, I've over-communicated emotions to my children. We'll see.
No, I don't think so. And I love to, we were talking about this story after the CPR class with some other girlfriends, and Kristen Bress, one of our good friends, said something that I thought was a really good point, because, and you said this too, like, what's going on in that little girl's home that made her say that? And it's like, let's, instead of, it's a good, it's like, pray for that mom of that little girl and that little girl, because somehow she's not getting the love that she needs somewhere. And it might not even be the parents' fault. Who knows what it is? Like,
older sibling, or is it something they're watching? And I look, my kid could say the same thing to someone. Yeah, like,
that's true.
I have to remember.
Maybe it's just human nature.
I know. It's just human nature, or they're repeating things. They don't even know what they mean. Like,
just trying stuff out. My sister always says that. Like, you know, every kid's going to push a boundary and just try stuff out. And you have to let your kids know where that boundary is.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes, you know, I think what's hard with parenting is it's like, sometimes kids don't know why they do things.
They're just trying it.
And someone told me that, and I can't remember who. They were like, you've got to remember, like, you're going, why would you do that? Like, one night Walker, a couple years ago, was turning the lights off, walking up the steps, and he threw something at me. Like, just in the dark. Threw whatever he had in his hand, and it hit me in my face. Thankfully, it was very soft. But I lost my mind on him, and I go, why would you do that? And he was like, I have no idea. I have no idea why I threw that when you turn the light out. You know, like, they truly
just trying it.
They have not been on this earth very long to figure it out. Cause and effect. I mean, there are so many things that, as a parent, you just, I don't know, throw it against the wall and hope it sticks. Is that what the phrase is? You know, I mean, there's no guarantees in any of it. Why is there not a playbook, right?
I have loved being your friend before I had kids, but I have, like, really leaned on you as a friend, mentor, and now that I have children, I'm going to cry again. God, everything makes me emotional. Freak.
You are fine. Emotion is not a sign of weakness.
I know.
We gotta, like, retrain ourselves to think that.
No, I know, but right? It's just weird to spontaneously cry in the middle of conversations.
You know, what is it? It's like cleansing. Salt.
It is cleansing.
It's great.
But I have loved your approach to parenting so much, because you and my sister remind me a lot of each other, and y'all have become friends now too. Catherine Power, she's the best, and y'all are kind of the same way. You're very much about living in the moment and being in the moment and enjoying the moment and not being consumed by worry. Obviously preparing yourself as best you can to keep your child safe, but you are, like, your word is today.
I mean, it's on my shirt.
Talk to me about why you have the word today.
I feel like, I mean, I heard this, if we're gonna have church, we're gonna have church one time. I am one of those people that I'm like, I think God just spoke to me. Like, it's not an audible voice, like, as in, like, ooh, there's a manly voice. It's just something pops in my head that I know is not for me. And recently,
how does it make you feel?
I mean, there's a peacefulness that comes with it, and it's, you know, I've heard, like, some believers get a really bad rap of, like, oh, they have voices in their head. It's not even like that. It's just, I was standing in my kitchen one day, very anxious about something. Usually Corey traveling's like a trigger for me, because I feel like the weight of the world, there's no family around, it's just me to do this. And, you know, and I said, God, what is this anxiety? And immediately, anxiety is when you feel overwhelmed or responsible for an outcome. Outcomes are in the future. Stay in the present, and you won't have anxiety.
It just came to me.
And so it's like, over time, I've realized that, like, if you're living in today, if you're staying present, which is a very biblical principle, do not worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own. Be still. Know that I'm God. Like, be present. That, like, I think anxiety is minimized. Like, if you think about the things you worry about with Sunny, or you think about it just in general, or with Michael, or with anything, or the future, or job, or career, it's not now. It's like, it's in the future. And so when we feel overwhelmed about the future, or we feel responsible for the future, is when anxiety comes. And so to me, I am the most content if I'm staying present. I have the most joy if I'm like, today is all I'm going to worry about. Doesn't mean I'm not preparing for things in the future, but I'm not, my mind isn't living there like it used to live.
Right.
And I don't know. I think that's why I'm so, I mean, I have a bracelet on that says present. So I say present. I have my enjoy, I think that's what this says.
Enjoy today.
Shirt, because, you know, I'm walking through a journey with a really close friend of mine who's had a really hard year with a sick husband, and you know, that's the only thing I knew to tell her the day she called to tell me about his diagnosis was, all I can tell you is just think about today. Like, you're really worried about the future, and I understand why, but that's going to rob you of anything that you could find to make you happy today? And mm-hmm. it sounds like so, it's tangible for me. It's become very tangible.
You can grab onto it.
I can grab onto it. It sounds really like out there, like just live in today, live in the moment. And it's not like a carpe diem type, seize the day type of thing for me. It's like, no, live like right now, like this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Be in it.
I feel like it's just easier. It's getting easier for me to be present, because when I'm not present, I'm a pretty miserable human being.
You notice the difference in the feelings.
Usually I can go back to like, oh my God, today, like I rushed through everything. I thought through, if I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking of the 15 things that have to get done, I'm constantly thinking about the next thing or tomorrow, or, and there is just this like weight of the world on my shoulders. Whereas I'm like, you know, I'm gonna get up right now and I'm gonna go fix my kids' breakfast, and then I'm fixing them breakfast and we're like singing a song and laughing and whatever.
And you're
like,
in it.
I'm in it. It's just you're the in only that way. Moment. The flip side to that is I've become an anti-planner.
Which is great.
Yes and no. But like there's things like I want to cook more meals for my family, especially now having a daughter that's got like an allergy, and going to restaurants is starting to get harder. That takes planning. So like I'm just now in this season of like, okay, how do I find this balance of like preparing and planning for things in the future? Because I've had to retrain my brain to not do that.
Right.
And there are times when that is like necessary and appropriate. So.
So it's just finding your balance.
It's just finding it.
Sometimes you have to go all the way to the other side before you can come back. I did that with food. I was like so, I had so many eating disorders and so much weird stigma around good food, bad food.
Yeah.
That ever since like getting pregnant and having Sunny, like I've been eating whatever I want.
Yeah.
But just not overeating. And so now I'm like, okay, I have a healthy relationship with junk food. Now I can eat healthy food and find a balance.
It's, I mean, I think that's how it works sometimes. We go to an extreme. Like mm-hmm. sometimes we have to go to an extreme to find healing, as crazy as that sounds.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, because I watch it happen or be beneficial for people, or we've talked about it with the food for you, and
mm-hmm.
it's awesome. Now it's like, had you not been that way,
it's like I wouldn't have been able
to find that balance.
Totally. I let myself eat anything and everything I wanted, and now I'm like, okay, I don't have to eat the whole thing. I can have as much as I want to be done.
Yeah.
And now I sometimes crave a kale salad over a piece of pizza. I just do whatever I feel. But I feel like with anxiety and like how you are so good at living in this day, and like maybe you said you've become so good at it that you're having trouble planning.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
But the anxiety to me stems from, we live in a world where we have so much access to so many stories of people all over the world, which is beautiful on one sense because right. we're connected in a way we've never been. We are able to have resources and learn sure. more and know, have all this knowledge that is at our fingertips, basically, because of the way we're connected.
Yeah.
But because of that also, we're hearing so many stories of yeah. everything that could go wrong, all the fears in the world, everything mm-hmm. happening that like we were talking today. And it's like, I cannot have enough anxiety to have all the anxiety in the world covered so nothing will happen.
No.
Like I can't worry enough to make whatever I'm worrying about not happen, because the things I haven't thought to worry about yet are probably going to be what happens. So right. it's like, why am I going to miss this moment? Because I'm worrying about what's probably not going to happen.
It's not going to change it. You know,
exactly. It's not going to make it easier if it does happen.
It doesn't. Corey said this to me one time, because once again, and I don't consider myself like, I don't have an anxiety disorder. I don't have like, I'm not an anxious person, but like I've never thought of myself in those ways. And like even going to counseling wasn't about anxiety. It was about, I have a fear of failure, and this is like how it affects my relationships, and this is where I can become control. You know, like it was working through those things. But I've realized like, no, every single person has anxiety in some way. It just looks different. And mine was constant worry about bad things happening, mm-hmm. which is anxiety. I just didn't know that's what my worry was. And Corey was like, this was years ago. He said, I feel like the amount of time that you have spent worrying about these scenarios happening or playing them out, or the fear that you've taken on, or the way it's made you like feel, like all of that together is worse than if that thing had actually happened, how you would feel.
Mm.
Or you know what yeah. I mean? Like you're harming yourself more even thinking through all these things. Because for the most part, I mean, Corey is very close to perfect. He is not perfect.
He is such a wonderful person. Close.
He's awesome. But like, he can just, I mean, he has his own, you know, the music industry is an anxious industry to begin with. But, you know, he has anxiety in certain scenarios. But for the most part, it was just so different looking than what mine were. Because mm-hmm. mine were coming up every day about this kid. And oh my God, this could happen. And, you know, and I've never forgotten it, to sit here and think, oh my God, what a waste of time.
What a waste of time.
If this were to happen, I have watched people close to me walk through tragedy and come out on the other side. And they are different. They're no better. They're no worse. They're different. They've walked it. They're still standing.
And why make yourself live through it in a way that you don't even know how you're going to handle it if it actually happens? Why have a fake scenario that you're living in when if it happens, it's going to happen? And you're going to have to walk through it anyway then. So just be with whatever moment you're in. Yeah. And you're right. They came through it.
They came through it. And it's like, and I'll tell them, you know, I've had a high school friend. I mean, she married her high school sweetheart and he passed away in a car wreck at 10 o'clock on, I think, a Monday morning. And it changed the course of her life, like left her with an 8-month-old. She was widowed at 28 and she's still standing. She's still texting me. God, this is going to make me tear up. Like Monday night when she knew I was starting a new Bible study with a new group of women. She doesn't even live in this state. And she was like, hey, I think you're starting a Bible study tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to those through you. It's like she's walked through hell, literally, you know, for a decade of it. And she's still encouraging her friend. Like there is good that can come from what we perceive as like tragedy and darkness and all these things. And I don't know. Staying present, I feel like I don't waste time. Worry wastes time. Worry does not, I read this too somewhere, like worry does not prevent something from the future happening, nor does it change anything that happened in your past. Like, what a waste of time.
What a waste of time.
You know? And so
somebody said it's like sitting in a rocking chair, just going back and forth, but going nowhere.
Which is a great point.
So tell me, you said, I want to talk about this Bible study that you started, because you didn't start it because you're like, and Lainey, I talked to you before you started it and you're like, I don't want people to think that I'm trying to be like this holier than thou spiritual guru. I'm like, that is not the vibe that you put off at all, and that is not your heart for doing this. You truly felt called to start this Bible study, and you said something. You said, I'm not gonna over spirit, I'm not gonna, what, tell me what you said.
I said, I'm at a place in life where I've spent a large amount of my life making sure I don't like over spiritualize anything, and by doing that I realized like I've been under spiritualizing things, and I'm just not going to do that anymore. It's like there's a weight that comes along with like sharing your beliefs, especially now. I feel like people are constantly trying to poke holes in things, and there was a fear I probably attached to that, and not ever wanting to be in that position or be like, I've never wanted to be like this Saturday Night Live like church lady skit, you know, like I don't want to be the church lady. But I do feel like God has called me to teach this message that he's put on my heart, and to just bring women along with me and say, hey, this is what I'm learning. What about you? And you were great. It was funny because before we started the one that you came to a couple weeks ago,
because you have like, three going now, right?
I have three going. It's the same message. It's all different groups of women. There's like no strategy involved. There's no end goal with it, which I love. That's like the first time in my life I haven't like, I mean, I played college basketball. Like my whole life was like, get on this team and then go get a Division I scholarship and then play. And like, there was always these goals. And any job I got, or when I was trying to do sports broadcasting, it was like how to like work your way up. And this is the first time like there is no end goal, which is terrifying, but not mm-hmm. the opposite. I mean, now it's just free.
Freeing.
Like, all right, God, where
you're
are we going?
You're just doing it based on the feelings.
Yeah. And you know, you said like, look, put your fears out there in front of us. And my fears were, I did not go to seminary. Not that that equips you in any way or puts you at a different level, but like I don't have the background to like be like teaching scriptures like a lot of people have the background of. That's a fear. I don't want to misspeak. I don't want to misrepresent something. And then the other fear was that people are going to be like, oh, Lainey wants to be up there talking, you know, like this is about her. And those two things are fears of mine. And you were like, just throw them out there. Let us know those are your fears. And it was so freeing to be like, you know what? I'm going to do that. Look, I never pictured myself doing this. This sounds like super boring to be the lady like going around teaching Bible studies. This is not what I pictured for my life, but it is the only thing that I have like, I like wake up excited about, like from a work type, like, okay, I've got this work to do. This is the work God's given me in front of me. It excites me. And it's just silly to even say, cause it's so
it's
opposite.
Not silly.
It feels silly.
Well, I feel like you're just really in a season of like, you're really in a good season in your life right now. Like, I feel like you are really in tune.
What is good? Define good and I'll tell you.
Okay. I feel like you are in a peaceful, content season with like, you're blessed right now. Like you're in a harvest season.
I'm in a harvest season.
And which I want to talk about this message, because this was the message you taught, which I thought was such a, and I even tried to recap it on a podcast somewhere, and I'm like, I'm getting Lainey on here because she's got to explain this message. But you're in a harvest season, and you're also just in a state of peace and contentment. And today, you're in a today season, which I feel like is such a blessing to be here.
I hope that I'm always in this season. That does not mean, I hope I'm in an always peaceful present season, because I feel like that is possible.
Mm-hmm. No matter what's happening.
Maybe I can feel the peace a little bit more than I could if I was walking through a really hard season, which will come. I mean, that's life, you mm-hmm. know, it's like, it's just how it is. But I want to be present. I want to be peaceful no matter what else is going on around me. And maybe that's easier to say in the season I'm in right now, but I do hope that for anyone, I feel like that's the only way you can get through these seasons. Like, if you don't have the peace that, like, look, this is all part of the story. This is all part of where I'm supposed to be going. This is just a role. This is just a chapter in my book. Like, if there's got to be a peace that comes along with that, or like, you'll never be able to get through that chapter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the whole message that I feel like has been put inside me is,
I love the way you explained it.
Get us all to understand that, like, and there's this whole, and I know it's like the vision that started this is powerful, and it's a
lot
to explain.
Just tell us in a condensed but thorough way.
Okay. I was at a retreat that Kristen Brust was speaking at. I went with her up to Detroit. It was at this precious church up there, and they had this time of prayer meditation where they had you spread out along the sanctuary, like wherever you were. They were so sweet. They had like little lavender oil and mask to put on to like get really calm and quiet. And they tasked you with this. The task was to ask God to give you a vision of how he saw you. And they said, look, you might get like a picture in your head and you know exactly what that means. Or you may pray and get a picture and like, you don't have a clue what it means, but like 10 years later, it pops in your head and you're like, this is from 10 years ago. Now I know what it means. Or you may not get like a picture of how God sees you. And all of those scenarios are totally fine. And so I did get a vision, a very, very, very clear vision. And it was this woman with her hands held high in a field of wheat with a dress on, long hair. There were blue skies, and she was just happy and praising God. And I knew what that meant immediately, because a few minutes earlier, I'd had this massive feeling of guilt and shame when I was in a prayer group with other women who were dealing with some really heavy things in my prayer group that we'd randomly been assigned to. And I'm talking like loss, husbands leaving, multiple miscarriages, someone's son in prison, those type of things. And the only prayer request I had turned in prior to them sharing theirs was, should I go back to work? And so if you can imagine, everybody's bearing their souls about these heavy things. And then you're like the little girl that's like, oh, should I go back to work? Because I'm just so blessed. I don't even have to work if I don't want to. That's the way it felt to me.
Yeah.
And I felt so guilty and shameful. Like, who are you? Like, to think that's all you need prayer for. And it was a really terrible feeling. And that's what I took into the time of prayer and meditation. And so when God gave me the vision of this woman in a wheat field praising him with blue skies and happy, and he was like, you can be that girl. Go be that girl. It's
you
okay.
You can be happy. And it you is can okay. be blessed.
You can be happy. You can be in a season of abundance, which wheat is a sign of abundance. You can have blue skies. Like, that's the season I have you in now. Like, it is okay.
And
do not be guilty.
There.
Be there. And so I ran over to, I call Kristen Brust, KB. I ran over to KB and I was like, tonight when we get back to the hotel, I have to tell you about this vision. And she was like, I got one too. And so I go, well, tell me about it. And she was like, oh, she goes, you go first. And I said, well, it's this girl in a field of wheat. And she goes with her hands held high in blue skies with a long dress on praising God. And we had the same vision at the same time. And we, like, still 2.5 years later, I mean, last week I called her. We were like, something was going on. I was like, I was just in here thinking about our wheat field vision. Like we can never forget that. Like, for 2.5 years, it's just been on our mind. And through a series of very God ordained, like, conversations or pictures, or wheat has started to pop up everywhere after that happened. Like,
and it was your sign.
It's my sign. And it's like a laughable sign. I mean, you've seen it. Like, I was praying last year, like, all right, God, I feel like you're calling me to start some type of Bible study for women that does with wheat, with abundance, living an abundant life. Like, you know, and then as I'm sitting here thinking, like, I just need a sign. Can you give me a sign? I walked in and saw, like, we were in New York, and as I'm sitting here having this conversation with God and feeling like he's like, you're about to see wheat, get ready. I mean, the whole inside, we always inside Mango in New York City, the whole inside of the store was women mannequins standing in a field of wheat.
Like
20 seconds after I felt heard what I talked about earlier, to me, that's God speaking. Don't miss the wheat. And I was like, don't miss the wheat. Where did that come from? I'm like helping my husband get his jacket on or something. His shoulder was like, he just had surgery. And like, I just heard it. And the very next door was, I mean, the picture's hysterical when I show it in the Bible studies.
Women standing in wheat.
Women standing in a wheat field. And I was like, I get it. And from that point, it became like,
how awesome when you get a sign that man, clear. I mean, he's like hitting you on the head with it. He's saying, Lainey.
That's what it takes for me. I'm a poke holes in things. That's why I recognize mm-hmm, it. And why I'm fearful to put myself out there is because I poke holes in things. It's like this defense mechanism I have, right? And so he has to talk to me in that way because he knows if I'm not going to get it. And at that point, seeing those women in a wheat field, even Corey walked up and goes, oh my gosh. He goes, are you sending this to KB? Because he knew I had my phone out. Like, I know what you're doing with this, because he's now like way into the wheat vision too. And so from that point it came, it was no longer like a cute idea. Like, oh, I'll start a Bible study and invite, you know, women in music. And it was almost like, this is what I've told you to do. If you don't do it, you're actually like going against what I have for you for your life. And so that's where we are.
So how did you start it? And tell me this message, because the message that you taught, I just like couldn't get enough of it.
I started it in September out of my home. I invited like 15 women who are either like married to people in the music industry or are artists themselves to come, and the group came. And then the one you came to was back in January. I had it for women that like kind of work in music, and it's easier to come to because it's on a lunch break. And then this week I started one at my church for women there. And the message is this, is that I do believe that God wants us to have an abundant life. That's what's in the Bible. John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So I'm like, I'm not preaching something that I don't believe is true. Like, I'm also not teaching like abundance is like, you're going to have money and pay your bills. Like, it's not on that side of abundance. That's a part of abundance. That's an awesome perk of it. But I'm talking about like, you are capable of having an abundant life, meaning as much peace as you want and forgiveness and grace and happiness and contentment and a career and a family. Like, abundance in all of those areas is kind of what abundance is to me, because abundance means plentiful. Like, and so what the message that I've kind of looked at through the just studying the word and researching just how you grow wheat, which is a sign of abundance, is it's a really hard process to grow wheat. Like, it's not easy. Like, you plow the ground is the first thing that has to happen, which is a lot of work. If the ground is not plowed and you don't do the work, like, you're not ever going to get to abundance, but it's work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're ready to go, but like, you can't even start like plowing the ground until the rain comes, because the rain makes the ground really soft. And so the whole thing, I think, is like, even when we really want to do something, if we're not waiting on the rain, which you cannot bring the rain and I cannot bring the rain, God controls the rain. Like, we're setting ourselves up for failure if we're not involving God.
From the beginning.
So he brings the rain. He tells you when, like, you can plow. But then it's like, you can start throwing the seeds out there, which is awesome. But see, like, you know, like, whether it's career, like, you take the meetings, you're networking, you're doing all the things. But like, that's a lot of work too.
Mm-hmm.
And the seeds don't grow. There's a lot of time when we're sitting there waiting on like to watch something grow. It's not happening, whether it's like trying to grow a family or trying to whatever, you know, like grow in mental health and find ways to like feel forgiveness that maybe you haven't had your whole life or whatnot. Like, there's a lot of times like, we've planted the seeds. Why is this not happening? You know?
Why isn't it happening now?
Yes. And you have to wait again on God to bring the rain to grow your seeds.
To bring the rain again.
So it's like, you're waiting on God, then you can start. Then you're throwing the seeds out there, doing the work. Then you're waiting on God again. And then finally your field starts to grow. Your abundance is coming in. And it's a lot of work to even take once the abundance gets here, in my opinion, once the wheat has grown, once you've arrived at whatever it is you think is going to bring you happiness or contentment, there's still more work. I mean, you have to go out there and pick the wheat, which is a lot of work, but like, there's trials and tribulations that still come in your abundant season. And I think what happens is, this is just my personal opinion, is when we're in the plowing seasons or the waiting seasons or the growing seasons, we equate that as not being abundant.
See, that is what I love. That was a very distinctive difference for me that I haven't heard about abundance before, is that you actually are claiming and telling and making us realize all of those seasons are actually abundance.
They're abundance. It's like you cannot have abundance without those seasons.
You cannot just get to the plowed field.
You can't get to the plowed field. It's like all of it has to happen to even get you to where you're going. And I think sometimes we like to like throw the baby out with the bathwater and be like, this is a hard season. This is either not what I'm supposed to be doing, or God has left me.
Or this isn't fair.
Yeah. We start to come up with a million reasons, which is like what I'm teaching on the next one that that you're at, is like, we start looking at the field next to us of that farmer. He did not work as much as me. He's not like, why is his wheat getting so much better? Why is he already picking his? Like, I don't understand. You know, like we can get so distracted.
He's getting more for his bundle.
There you go. Uh-huh. Like, no, I mean, we all have an abundant life. It can look different and it's okay. And it's just understanding in those hard seasons, which we've all been in and we'll go through again. Like, it will happen. They're all a part of an abundant life. And I, you know, one thing I mentioned in it is like, I don't know at what point we started realizing or thinking, and I laughed at the last study I taught. I was like, just so you know, whenever I say we, I just mean me. It just sounds better when I say we. I don't know at what point we started equating waiting as something that's bad. Mm-hmm. And it's like getting harder and harder as generations get like grow up to wait. And I think about my kids, like they don't know what waiting is. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to have to work extra hard to get them to learn that waiting is okay. And so when we have Amazon, I mean, literally a Panera delivery guy just walked up as we're recording this because I ordered us Panera an hour ago. But like, we don't have to wait anymore. And so when we're waiting, we think something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, we think,
and then you look around and you're, and then you start looking around and gosh, we have a lot of places to look these days.
That's right.
And we can see people, like you said, thriving everywhere, yeah, it seems.
Yeah.
And we're like, they don't have problems. Why don't they have to go through this? Yeah. Why is it so easy for them?
Waiting is okay. And you know, I talk about like plowing is hard work. Nobody's Instagramming their plowing season. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like no mm-hmm. one's really doing that. And it's, we are, I don't know, creating this false sense of like what an abundant life looks like. And I don't know. It makes sense to me and it may not make sense to anyone.
It makes
else,
so much like, sense to me.
Whether you're in a waiting season, a plowing season, a sowing season, a waiting season again, like it's all part of getting you to your abundant life that God has for you.
And then you said sometimes you can get to the time of the harvest and you don't have a good crop that year.
You don't have a good crop that
year. Man, that sucks.
Yeah.
All that work and all that waiting and your crop gets attacked by locusts.
There you go.
Is what you said.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you said it. I'm quoting you.
I teach on that. It's like, what are your locusts? What is it? Is it the locust of fear that's going to come and rob your crop? Is it? But then you also think about, I use this example. Like I was supposed to be on a literal field, like as a sideline reporter, and God completely shook that up. And now I say I'm a stay-at-home mommer, you know? And I look at the contentment and the happiness and the peacefulness and the joy I do have now doing what I'm doing. I may not have had I been the next Aaron Andrews. Like, who knows?
But you could have been.
Could have been, but I don't even have to worry about that. Yeah. Like, that field went away and this is the new field I'm in. And I also think about, like, you know what? On my way to that field, all the work, all the meetings I took, all the demo reels I put together, all the games that I did sideline reporting at that were like paying me nothing. I probably lost money by the time I like, yeah, like didn't get paid for my day job and drove 7 hours to record some, you know, random game that no one was even watching. Like I learned a lot. You can learn a lot in your plowing season, in your sowing season, even if that harvest doesn't come. Like doesn't mean you weren't on your way to abundance. Like it all works together.
Even if that particular harvest doesn't come, it doesn't mean that there's not a lesson and a message that translate later into another field and another harvest season that you're in. Like now you're in a totally different harvest season than you would have dreamed of when you're trying to be a sideline reporter.
That's exactly right. That's
so true. Like your sideline reporter harvest never came per se.
It never came, but I learned a lot in the seasons, that led to like where I thought that was going that have helped me now, even in the music industry or sitting here with microphone in my hand or
yeah, who knows how it's going to translate or later being on
talking in front of people. You know what I mean? Like doing these Bible studies or like I do prepare for them. I get just as excited. I used to love like game days when I was like going to have a game and I would like wake up and I would like have my coffee. I mean, early, this was before we had kids and I'd have all my notes out about all the players and I was studying everything and I was like repeating, like thinking like what scenarios could come up. And it's the same thing. I've just thought about this as we're talking about this. I do the day I'm teaching a Bible study. I get my kids off to school. I go sit in my guest room, which like is my office. Corey said, I have been in that room one time since we've lived here. I'm like, I go in it every day. Like,
it's my sanctuary. It's my space.
And I have my notes out and I go over them in the same way that I did all these seasons
preparing
for it, just because it's important for me to like know the information
that you learned that when you were preparing for when you were plowing another field that now those lessons have translated.
Like, isn't that interesting? There's a whole lesson in there at some point, but yeah, I don't know, it's just I live in a state and I kind of always have I want an abundant life for me and I want it for anyone I come in contact with. Like I genuinely mean that. Like, I hate seeing broken people. Not that I'm broken. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, like, the areas that I'm broken in, I'm constantly trying to find resolution and restitution, like, and redemption in. Like, I don't like broken things. I want it to be fixed. If I have a broken relationship with someone, that devastates me, and I want to do whatever I can to fix it. And I want that for everyone around me. And I know that's, like, maybe unrealistic, but this message to me is that, like, if you're in your plowing season, it's okay. Don't think that, like, God's abandoned you. Don't think that this is just
for nothing.
This is for nothing. It is leading you to abundance in some way, shape, or form. That's the message.
I love that. And I was like, I have to have you come on and share this message, because to me that makes so much sense.
Well, I'm glad.
But I feel like so many times, like you said, we get in these seasons where we are waiting or where it's not happening, or we're not getting the rain, we're not getting the fertilization that we need for our soil, yeah. Or we got to this end and we thought we should have some big moment happening and we get our crops not there and we have to totally change our plan and like start over, and it's defeating and we feel lost and we feel abandoned, but we're not.
I mean, I don't know, if you think about, at least for me, it's worked. All the things that I thought I wanted, not all of them, but most of them, other than Corey, because like I've always wanted Corey and I still want Corey.
You little cutie pies.
There's always been a reason it didn't happen, or it happened at a different timing, or it looks different, and I wouldn't go back and change it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't know. I know the majority of people I know, they feel that way. So it's like, I have to trust if whatever next season I'm in, if the trials and tribulations are there for in whatever way, I have to be able to sit in those. Like, I have to still be able to preach and teach this abundant talk in any season I'm in, whether it's hard or easy, you know, and that scares me a little bit. That's a little terrifying to think about. But I feel that way. I mean, because if I look back on my past, like, that's how it's always played out. Even the hard times that I always go, man, when I'm going through something hard, I'm like, I know that a couple years from now, I'll be on the other side of this. And it'll be something I'm looking back on. Like it will be. And every time I'm looking back on it, I can see either why it happened or what it led to, or, you know, or how it's working. God is working all things for our good. I mean, that's in the Bible. Like, you can start to see that. There are those big whammies, those big question marks that we'll have for God one day. But for the most part, you can see that God is constantly using what was made for evil for good. Which I do sound like the crazy church.
No, you don't.
When you use
words like
evil and good and darkness and light, it's just the season I'm in.
You sound like a person who's lived life, who's had real experiences with God, who's having an honest relationship with God in real life. And you just sound like someone who's just talking about the truth in your heart, and you're not trying to do it for any bigger reason than this is how you feel and you want to share this message.
That's accurate. I mean, I just want to share the message and watch, you know, women are what are on my heart, just because that's who like I connect with, and the circles I run around in, that's who I'm like passionate about. Like, man, I want to see everyone around me know that like God is for you, not against you.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to be perfect. That is the biggest lie ever.
Mm-hmm.
We are not fully equipped. But he is.
Yep.
So like there's a book out there called You Are the Girl for the Job, and a friend who lives over in China, who's now in America because of the coronavirus, that girl is like my hero, watching her navigate that with her family. But she sent me that book a couple months ago and was like, I hope this book means as much to you as it has for me. Go chase those wheat fields. All my friends are like so tired of me talking about wheat. But that book just like more than anything made me be like, man, whatever it is that like God has put in Caroline Hobby's heart, like go do it, because he will continue to reveal to you how to do it. Mm. And he will show up for you. Like if it's in your heart, he gives you the desires of your heart. Like that's how this works. Like he will continue to open the doors for you or close the doors for you or give you the peace. Like I've watched you, and I know this is you asking me questions, but like I really have watched you through this motherhood journey, like transform. And I'm so excited to see, I really am excited to see, this is a new season for you too. Like mm-hmm. even though you're like, oh, I'm starting to tear up. Like, there is a peacefulness and a confidence that I haven't seen in you in years. That's always been in there. But I think the self-doubt and the fear and the buying into the lie that, like, you got to have it all together. Yep. You're not valuable, mm-hmm. which is a lie. We all know that. Like, those little layers are starting to come off. And, like, the confident Caroline, like, you know what? Me and God, we've got this, is coming out. And, like, that is so rewarding as a friend to get to watch.
Aww.
I'm serious. Because your light's always been so bright. And it's, you get those layers off of you, it's just going to get brighter.
I agree with you, because the purity of who I am is just so much more present now. It's not that I wasn't pure before, but like you said, I had so many layers and so much I was trying to keep up with and strive to be. And I wanted people to perceive me as this. And I wanted to achieve this because then I'm more valuable. And like, oh my God, like even with the fields, like that person's wheat field is better than mine. Like, why is my wheat field not good? And now I'm like, I don't freaking care. Like, I just want to be happy and content. And I want Sunny to be happy. And I want to be here. And I want to see her light. And it's like, it's gotten me just to such a pure place. You know?
I love that. I'm quoting a royal over here, which is like hilarious for me to actually do. But I read something the other day that Kate Middleton said. It was like,
I love her.
Something about, and I screenshotted it in my phone, so if I butcher it too much, I'll pull it up. But it was like, it's not about doing every pickup and drop off with your kid. It's about being present for them.
I love that.
And I was like, man, because we were talking about this earlier, like, you can control the world if we keep it in a black and white sense. And like a black and white, right and wrong, yay, my kids are going to turn out great if they know I'm always there for them and they see my face at a pickup and drop off, which is great and awesome. And I love to be out at the bus when my son gets there. I want that to be the first thing he sees. And I don't want him to walk 10 feet into the house without me being there. But he's not going to remember that as much as me in the room with him when he goes, hey, Mom, will you sit down and read me this book? And I go, absolutely, I will. And I either put my phone down, which,
and God, look in his eyes and feel his heart,
put my arm around him, read that book with him. Like, being present is everything. And I think that, like, I think that's the season you're at. I know that's the season where I'm at. And I think that the joy that we are capable of having and the contentment is the most present when we are present.
Amen to that. And kind of expand on what you're saying, what we were talking about before with like seeing people and not having to have them defined by, I like this about them, I don't like this about them. Like,
I don't know. We talked about this a little bit earlier before the year started. I started to realize, like, I'm constantly rating things in life. Yeah, like,
me too.
Give me a good coffee shop. Like, I love to go get a cup of coffee at a coffee shop, but I always be like, man, this coffee was, you know, it's good, but it's not as good as it was like down the road last year. I mean, what was the name of that spot? Or date night with people. If Corey and I ever get to go like on a date night, or we have people come to, this was so awesome, this was so much fun. Like I'm constantly categorizing.
Like, I liked it so much, but I liked it better when we went on a date night with that couple.
Yeah,
or like, this drove me nuts about that person. Or like,
why do we feel the need to do that?
Like, why do we have to rank it all and define it all and like say, oh, here's the good parts about this and here's the bad parts about personally don't like.
But to me, that's like, everything in life feels easier if you can categorize it and put a label on it. And mm-hmm. we learn to do that at such a young age that we carry that into every aspect of our life without realizing it. And somehow you and I both came to that decision this year. Like, why are we labeling things? Why are we, like, experiences? You know what? It was awesome. Today was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in my mind, quickly, is there like a list going through my brain personally of things that I wouldn't like or that I would have changed or that drove me crazy? Or he breathed weird or yeah. she talked funny, or like that was an annoying story that I had to listen to that she said. But also it's like, who cares?
Why?
Like,
I mean, like, who cares? Yeah.
Like
what,
the great things about this person, like look at this person's heart and intentions. And yes, there's stuff that drives me crazy about yeah. everyone, but I drive people crazy. There's, you know, it's like, yeah. why do I need to get it all? Who am I going to find out there that checks all my perfect boxes?
You know what I call this? This ties back into it. And we don't have the visuals here, but I'll explain it as best as possible. It's like when we're finding those things wrong, that is a lack mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We are missing the abundance of that person, all the good things.
Yes.
I do this all the time with my personal life. Like the one thing I did wrong, I'm not looking at the 20 things I did great
that day. And you obsess about it.
I have a lack mentality.
Yes.
Like I have to work hard to have that abundant. It's hard to do, you know,
it's or I so walk in my house and I'm like, it.
I love my kitchen. We got it redone. I love my den because we got new furniture, but the one room we haven't touched, like I'm constantly thinking what's wrong with our house, or our outside of our house is like built in the '80s and there's definitely some brickwork that needs to be done. It's starting to fall off a little bit. I'm seeing that. I'm not seeing, oh man, what a great spot this house has been for us and what a retreat it's been. And it's the same with other people. We're mm-hmm. going to find that one place of lack and mm-hmm. focus on that. I don't know if you know, I have that visual. It's like the animal from one direction looks like a rabbit, and then from the other direction, it looks like a duck. And I hold it up in the study and I'm like, okay, what do you see here? And half the room always is like, that's a rabbit. And the other half the room is like, it's a duck. And I'm like, no, this is like, it can be either one of those things. It's how you're choosing to look at it. And it's the same way about like these people or the nights that we're trying to categorize, like, are we going to look at it as a night of lack or a night of abundance? We're going to look at that person. The one thing they do wrong is like, oh, that they're lacking in this way. Are we looking at the areas that they're succeeding in? Like we get to choose what that looks like.
And so why? Yes. There's a weird quirk this person does that drives you nuts. Why am I going to worry about that when their heart is good and they're trying yeah. to be a good person? They're showing up for me and they love me and they're working hard to do what they feel is right for them. Like, why am I going to sit around and try to talk shit about them?
Yeah, I think what you'll start to realize is what I start to realize is like, I will stop myself and I will stop Corey and he will stop me, like, you know, and he'll mm-hmm. be like, that's a lot mentality, what you just said. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it is. Now you're using my words against me. But that's what it is. Like, why not in the heart of abundance over here really work at seeing not looking at the lack anymore.
Yes.
It doesn't achieve anything.
No, it makes you feel bad.
It makes you feel bad. It robs you of joy. I mm-hmm. mean, there's not a lot of joy in lack, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, but here's to 2020 to not categorizing.
Okay. And I want to just throw this out there. You don't have to do this because this is your journey and your calling and all your stuff. I think you should share your messages that you preach via podcast, and I would be happy to be that podcast for you for a while until you want to start your own. But I think you should share your messages.
I will receive that. I will receive that. I don't know what that looks like. That's where the me of like, I can't plan.
We don't have to plan it.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I've gone too far to where I'm like, I'm open to that, and I'm getting, once again, confident enough in the fact that I'm like, I'm not equipped, but God is. So mm-hmm. wherever this is going, mm-hmm. I'm good with. I will receive that. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to these, or if this, the 30 women that I give the message to, if that will grow. I do know that, like, one thing I'm really praying about and I can see happening, and KB and I have talked about, is doing a retreat, just because mm-hmm. that's where we first had this vision. And, you know, doing that hopefully like in the fall. I'm hoping to do it at, I call it Alex and Drake's place. Is it Wood Hollow?
Whitewood
Hollow.
Which everyone needs to check out in Nashville. Yes. Or if you need to have an event space, you're yep. coming to Nashville, Whitewood Hollow. It's amazing.
I feel like that's where it'll be, just one day and show yes. up and talk, like, in addition to what we've talked about, and have speakers and do yoga and have a great meal in a beautiful setting. And
oh yeah.
But I might move in that direction with the podcast. I don't know. I feel like I'm just kind of waiting and seeing.
Well, know that, like, I now do two podcasts a week. So one of them is a midweek mom chat on Thursdays,
which I love, by the way. And I also love that, like, the voice you have, I told you this yesterday, is like, it carries a lot of weight with it, and it impacts a lot of people. And that's really awesome.
Well, it's all about just being truth and honest and trying to get to this. We're all trying to get to this place of happiness, right?
I know.
That involves being honest, and it involves, like, hearing great messages like this. So yeah. I'm just throwing it out there.
Thank you.
If you feel called to share some of your messages, I have a spot for you to share them.
All right. All right.
And I can help nurture you on to getting your own so you can share these messages. No pressure. Just putting it out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No, we might have to talk more about this over our Panera salads outside.
I think it would be a really great thing. And we could even just try it for a few more times and just see how it goes. Because I'm with you. Like, I don't want to set in a stone like, we have to do this and this is our plan. Because that's too much pressure.
The thing is, this whole experience of starting this Bible study has been so easy once I just like succumb to the idea of like, all right, this is what's in it for me, to where like that to me would make total sense and I would step into that.
And it would be easy.
It would be easy because you make it easy, but it would be easy because you've done all the work and I'm just gonna like hop in and talk.
No, but you're doing all the work in a different area and it's just combining forces with that's what I love about being in community with women and men too, but I love being in community with women just like you. We're all doing work in different areas of our lives, and so when we can collaborate and like make them,
I love that.
Like, you have a message that I want to share. Like, I have messages too, but like, I don't have all the messages. That's why I love this podcast, because I get to talk to women who have great messages.
If there is interest there and you think women would benefit from the messages, I will 100%.
Let's just do it. Let's do a few more. And whenever we can work it into our schedules and make it sense, let's just talk about one of your lessons.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
Okay. So Lainey Crowder is going to be a visiting guest on my Midweek Mom Chats coming up.
Woo! Count me in.
Okay.
I'll be ready.
Okay. So I wrap up with, you know, this leave your light. Just what do you want people to know, particularly today?
This is what people to know. I'm going to pull the church lady card. This is my favorite verse in the Bible, and it is, he did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I pray that literally out loud to my kids every morning, and they roll their eyes. But I want them to know that like, and I want everyone listening to know that like, he did not give you that spirit of fear. If there's fear in there, that is not from him. He gives you power, love, and a sound mind. And I just think if we could focus on those three things, how happier our world would be.
Love it. Lainey Crowder.
I brought his light, not my own. But
I love
that
you.
That works.
That's the best light. You're the best.
Bye.
Bye.